Welcome to the iCoat Products Podcast, Concrete Conversations. Today, I'm interviewing Don Jenkins. Don, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I grew up in the United States, and then I married this Aussie, this beautiful Aussie woman who lived with me here and married about 12 years here in the U.S., and then I moved to Australia about 16 years ago.
Nice.
Luckily, I had met Tim and the iCoat Products, had been introduced by then, and knew Tim well, very, very well, and we became best friends. And so when I moved to Australia, I was in the dental industry, actually, not as a dentist, but as an orthodontic technician.
Wow.
And so I was making retainers and all that kind of stuff, and I had met Tim because I'd bought my first house, and I wanted to build a waterfall. And back then, Tim was involved with a company called Boulder Image, and that was back in 96 or 97, 1997. And so when I moved to Australia, I was like, do I want to do the dental thing or do I want to do the waterfall thing and the flooring thing, you know? So I was just like, well, you know what? I'm going to do the flooring thing.
I think you've answered my first five questions.
Yeah.
All in one go.
Well, I didn't mean to do that, but yeah.
That's great. Right? Yeah. So you hit on all those points.
Yeah.
So how long is it? How long is it? 16 years, 17 years? How long have you been using the systems?
I think, 2006 to 24, so 18 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, not 2006, 1997, so.
And that's been full-time career for you for the last 18 years?
Yeah, from 2006. When I moved to Australia, that's when I went full-time. I was doing it half-time here, part-time, while doing the dental industry. Thing, and ended up really just loving the medium of concrete.
Gotcha.
and resins and whatnot. So
did you get a lot of training before you started, or have you been training along the way? Tell us a little bit about how you've been learning the systems and how to do things.
That's funny because no, I had no training. I met Tim and helped him on a couple of waterfalls and stuff like that because that was what I was mainly interested in. And I wasn't interested in a career at that point. I just want to build my own waterfall. And long story short, I started building waterfalls with him, training with the flooring, got my first paid job, and it was a sidewalk, just a small sidewalk. And I just did it by myself, and I was like, I love this stuff. This is really cool. You know.
So what was the learning curve like? Was it a heavy learning curve to understand how to do things?
Yes, because you gotta understand, I had always done like office jobs. I was actually a jeweler, so bench jobs. I was a jeweler
so teeth
before.
And jewelry,
yeah, yeah.
And
teeth, jewelry,
right.
artistic work, you know.
Right.
So the learning curve was big for me because I'd never been in construction. A construction background, a flooring background, I didn't have any of that. So yeah, it was a big learning curve for me, certainly.
So when people think of things like epoxy and concrete overlays, they think of chemicals. Is there anything hazardous that you work with? Do you have to worry about that sort of thing with the work you do?
I now have a company in Australia, in Melbourne, Australia, and I have six guys that do the work for me and for the company and whatnot. I have two brothers that run the production side of the company. But we are very, very careful when it comes to handling of the materials. I think that everything that humans touch these days is toxic.
Right.
I really do. And I really tell my guys, I say, hey, the dust is toxic, the epoxy is toxic. Only when you handle it incorrectly. So when you're handling things correctly, there's no worry.
Right.
And we've been going for 24 years, and I don't have any side effects from any of this kind of stuff because I've always had that mentality of handling things correctly.
Right.
We wear gloves, we wear masks, we wear the things that protect us. You know?
And it's always been a question I've had for Tim, and he said in all the years in business he's never had anyone get sick unless, like you say, if they eat it, then that's
you're going to get sick if you eat poisonous chemicals.
Right. So have you used any competitor products, and have you any stories of using?
Plenty.
How do they compare with iCoat products?
iCoat products are built by or designed for the industry. A lot of the other industries, a lot of the other people that have formulated these things have no chemical background.
Right.
And they just want to make a better product, so they import something and they mix a couple things together and they call it that product. And then over many, many years, they may make something that's halfway decent, where Tim has had that background. His father was a chemist.
Yeah.
Actually started from that point of chemistry and for the point of making what he wants to make. It was designed. It wasn't just thrown together because he wanted to be another competitor.
Right. What was your impetus to go into this business? Was it just getting out of doing something else? I know you said you had this passion, but was there anything more that sort of drove that?
So, yeah, so at my heart, in my deepest part of my heart, I'm an artist.
Right.
I love organic shapes. I love when you're, like, being in Phoenix, you see a lot of organic shapes, being the mountains.
Yeah.
And then when you cut a freeway through it, you see the layers of the rock. You do a walkthrough through the desert, and you might see a wash, and that's washed through all the layers and everything. And that, to me, is the most beautiful way to express art, is to simulate nature. Now, that's for me.
Right.
Other people don't like that, but for me, that's what it is. And what I found with concrete that I didn't find with opals and gold and diamonds and stuff, the things are beautiful, but they're already made.
Right.
So when I get to use concrete or cement or a resin to create something that I feel represents those things, it brings out the artist in me.
Oh, wow.
So those things are what really spurred me on to continue in that direction rather than the orthodontic, because it's okay, but it's not artistic. You know what I mean? It's precision, but it's not...
Absolutely. So I know Tim is very proud that all of his stuff's manufactured here. It's not manufactured in China. How do you get products in Australia?
We import them.
You do?
Yeah, we literally import them. I have an agreement with Tim as well that products made over there are ICO standards.
Right.
So we make the cement products and stuff over in Australia.
Okay, and import the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, the especially the casting resins and stuff like that.
Right.
We import those and sell them to local markets.
Nice.
Over there.
Excellent. Yeah. And so talk to me about working with the team in stateside, that when you place orders, is the service good? Do they ship on time? How's everything with that?
Yeah, I mean, just because we've been friends for so long, and I know the team over there, you know, Andy's very, very good about sorting
Andy's
things
great.
Out.
Yeah.
You know, the biggest thing was the banking account and shipping. Shipping, I organize it from that side because I know somebody over there. We've done the floors for over there that is a shipping company, and so they organize it from over here. But because we only do a pallet, two pallets, five pallets, it's less than a container load, and it always gets bumped in LA and stuff like that. So,
right.
But as far as...
Yeah, it's the supply chain. Yeah,
that's the shipping part of it.
Yeah.
The shipping is the nightmare of the entire world, I think, you know. So, but working with iCoat, there's no problems.
So do you still get support? I know you've been there 16 years, but does Tim still give you support on certain jobs if there's new things happening, or...?
We talk all the time.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And usually, I mean, after being 16 years, like when we first started, he was literally there holding my hand, you know,
right.
As I was, when you asked me if I had support before I started, I didn't. But as we were going, Tim was there. He goes, hey, we're going to be doing this waterfall over at this place. It's a class, whatever. Just come along or come in afterwards. Help me color it or something like that, you know.
Right.
So after, you know, doing it for that long, you kind of go, well, I don't need the support. And sometimes Tim will ask me, you know, hey, have you done things in Australia? You know, there is that bigger network that I love being part of. Something bigger than myself.
Yeah.
You know, that excites me. At heart, I'm an actual, I love to teach and then see what they do with the tools that I've given them. And so Tim's done that to me, and I love to do that for other people.
That's great.
For my team and for other people in Australia.
Yeah. So I've lived in Australia too and done business down there, and it's not much different from the American market. So how do you go about marketing your business down there? How do you go about finding work?
I think that for a small business, the only, you know, what would you call it, budget-minded way of doing things has got to be Google.
Right.
It's got to be Facebook, depending on if that's your market.
Yep.
Instagram, you know, LinkedIn, those kinds of things. Online marketing is absolutely essential. It's the only place we actually market.
Do you do any door-to-door or placards or any of that sort of thing as well?
No, we actually don't. Would I say that you don't want to? No, I think any advertising is good advertising. It's a matter of what is your market.
Right.
Like we really specify, we go after specific markets. We don't want 15 garages.
Right, because I see a lot of people, they'll do a garage and they'll put a sign up outside saying garage for Dubai.
Yeah.
And that's pretty
And I love that. I good. Love yeah. that. If yeah. you're a, if you're one guy that is out there doing jobs or two guys out there doing jobs, that's essential. That is essential.
Yeah.
But we do warehouses over there that are 3,000 square meters.
Right.
So just one single color of epoxy, but it's a lot of prep work, a lot of massive machines and grinders and generators and vacuums and everything else. So
wow.
six guys all on one floor, and we'll knock it out in 3 days, 4 days, you know.
So that brings a good question about the different types of jobs that you're doing. So you're actually doing a lot of commercial.
Yeah.
You're doing big warehouses.
Restaurants, back of house, restaurant floors, those kinds of things.
Right. Is there a sort of a mix between interior, exterior, or is it mainly interior? What's the sort of mix on
that? Is going to be 100% dictated by the weather in your local area.
Right.
To where Melbourne comes. Is not a good place for outside work.
Right.
It's so
too hot.
It's just, it rains.
Oh,
way too much.
Wow.
So, and resins and cements and everything, they're just ruined by the rain. So,
yeah.
You know, and delays. You know, we used to do a lot of balconies. People go, oh, my balcony's leaking and blah, blah, blah. So we go, okay, well, we've got this whole system, put it on there. But then it might be the middle of winter and we come in for 3 days and then we're gone for 3 months.
Right.
Because we can't get a break in the weather.
Yikes.
And that's no good. So you really want to go, okay, what's my market? Where am I? What's the weather like? Indoors is always safe.
Yep.
Now, is there enough work in what you do indoors? Okay, maybe change your market a little bit. Change what you do a little bit to... You know, so, in Melbourne, we, about 3 years ago, decided we're done with outside work. In the summer, if we notice a couple of weeks and somebody wants something outside, we'll do it. But other than that, we just don't touch it.
So, I know with his systems, and I've seen it on a job site where... something was ruined, either a flooring piece or a countertop, and I was amazed by how easy they can be repaired.
Yes.
Do you do a lot of repair work for jobs down there, like just to keep things looking great?
Yeah, so we'll do a maintenance. We've done a job 10 years ago, mainly floors. We started in benchtops, doing a lot of benchtops and stuff, but then we started getting floors. I'm like, for 3 days we could be doing a benchtop, or 3 days we can do a floor, and I've got six guys I got to keep busy, so... Let's do flooring, you know?
Right.
But I can repair a floor. You know, I have plenty of stories where we did a floor over the top of electrical heating, and there are little tiny coils that go back and forth in the wall, in the floor, this far,
heated,
you know?
Floor, yeah.
And then it curves over and does another. Well, somehow the wire had been cut, but the alarm didn't go off during construction, because they put a little tiny alarm on it, beep, beep, beep,
wow.
if the wire gets cut. Well, lo and behold, the house is built, the floor is done, they move in, and they go to turn it on, and it doesn't work. Only half the floor. It stops right in the middle of their living room. I was able to cut a hole 50 mil deep, 2 inches deep, and about 2 inches wide, repair the wire, stuff it all back in, repair it, and in one day make it completely disappear, and you could not tell that there was ever a repair there.
That's amazing.
It takes a lot of artistic work.
Yeah.
To be able to do that, a lot of artistic ability to be able to do that, but it can be done.
So, again, you've mentioned warehousing, flooring. Is that probably the most popular form of work that you guys do down there?
We do a lot of domestic, or a lot of...
Oh, a lot of homes as well.
Yeah, homes. So we'll do... I'm hesitant to say that we'll do floors over the top of what we call yellow tongue over there, or a chipboard.
Right.
So we'll do a beautiful concrete looking, very natural looking, stone looking floor right over the top of chipboard. But there's a lot of process in that. Normally we'll go in and we'll do polished concrete inside of a residential home, or a cement overlay, or epoxy, metallic epoxy floors, those kinds of things. We do a lot of that. I'd probably say 50-50, really, when it comes to commercial and residential. But it's all indoors, mainly, you know, that's our main focus.
So talk to me a little bit about the reaction from customers to the product when they see it, because I'm sure people are like, what's this process? Because they're so used to, like, traditional square tiles,
wood, carpet,
right.
You know?
So what's the customer reaction?
Well... it is interesting, because when we first started, we were going to home shows.
Yep.
And that was the main avenue of advertising, because even back in 2006, believe it or not, the iPhone wasn't invented yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Great.
So And so the internet was very, very slow, and people weren't looking on. So we went to home shows, and we had people, 10 people deep, and we had 9 meters by 3 meters, and people, probably about 100 people watching us. The rest of the show was empty. People were watching us, and they're like, what is this new type of flooring? What is crazy? Wow. We don't get that reaction anymore because it is a little more prevalent. But when people go, well, I don't have to have grout lines, I don't have to have this, I can have any color I want, I can have any pattern I want, it's easy to keep clean, easy to maintain, and somebody can come back in 5 to 10 years from now, sand the floor, put a clear coat over the top of it, and it all looks brand new, sign me up.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
So there's so many benefits to it.
So do you think this is an industry that someone who's out there maybe doing carpentry or tradesman could get involved with very little money involved to get involved with?
That's a crazy thing about it. I mean, to start, you don't even need a big grinder or a big vacuum or anything like that. Usually it's, I mean, you can start with as small as you want, really.
Right.
You know, and I would start with a bathroom floor. You know, you don't need much to do a bathroom floor.
No, that's correct.
You get a huge amount of experience because you get through all the stairs, the steps and layers that you do in an entire home in a small bathroom floor. Very controllable, right?
Yeah.
And you can do all the surfaces in a bathroom floor or a garage floor.
Yeah.
And so you don't need much equipment to get started. And I didn't have much equipment. Even going to Australia, I didn't have any equipment. I literally had to buy I started a whole business on less than $5,000.
On less than $5,000.
On less than $5,000. Wow. All my advertising, all everything, because that's all I had. Right?
Yeah, that's
so
amazing.
I moved over there and I started with $5,000. I was just like, that's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to give myself any more than that to start the business. So.
Yeah, that's crazy. So do you think this is the sort of thing that the average guy could go out and earn a living doing?
I don't see why not. The only person that I would say don't do this is somebody who doesn't have the fortitude to keep going.
Right.
You know,
because any business, you got to stick with it. Right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if you're gonna go into business, have a business mind, have the trades mind. It's not an easy thing to do, but I would say if you're willing to start and keep going, you will make a very good living.
Excellent. So, what would the last question? Like, what advice would you give for someone who wants to get started with this and wants to get into this type of business?
Ask a million questions.
Well, Tim will answer.
And here's the thing is, like, you can go on YouTube, you can go on all sorts of things and really confuse yourself.
Yep.
Right? Or you can come to one person or one company and get all the information and change it as you go. I have to do things different in Australia than you guys do here because there's different rules, there's different laws, there's different people, there's different materials, there's different all sorts of different things.
Yeah.
But if I were to do it again, I would start exactly where I started. I would start with Tim. Why? The guy has a plethora of information. He's extremely intelligent. He doesn't just go, this is the system that I learned 35 years ago.
Yeah, he loves it, you can tell.
He designs it because he knows that he can design it better,
right,
and better and better. So he's been through all that. And so as you go through all those things, you kind of learn what not to do.
Yep.
Even so, as more than what to do, you need to know what not to do.
Exactly.
So when you have that experience, it just pays off to talk to somebody like that.
Don,
so.
Thank you very much. That's been an excellent interview with this, and thanks for taking the time to do it.
Very good.
Thank you.
It's been fun.
Yeah.